Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Irreplaceable, and I am your host Ira. I legit had such a revelation. So I was sitting down with a friend and I was telling her about the five love languages episode, and we were having a discussion about it. It was absolutely amazing. And then she says this really interesting thing which got me thinking. I started researching on it and I'm going to share that with you. She says the other part of the five love languages is also your hate languages. And I go like, what do you mean? And she said, see, when you are angry at someone and you have a conflict, you use the opposite of your love language to show that you're hurt, to show your hate. And that's how you show your anger. And I was like, what? You are bullshitting right now. This is not true. And she said, yeah, test it out. I would give you the best example. Goes forward and explains it that if your love language is words of affirmation, when you get angry, your love language is words of hate. And that blew my mind because it's true. And then I did my little bit own research and I found out that she wasn't wrong. And people do in fact do this. So if your love language is physical touch, you could be someone who can get physically violent with people to show their anger, or violent at yourself, or if you're violent at a thing or an object, you like hit on it, you know, you bang it or you fuck it up and something like that. Or if you're frustrated with yourself, like you could be someone who would be like punching walls because the intensity and the magnitude has to match. And if you're someone who loves giving gifts, you are also someone when you're angry and you want to show your hate, you would take things from them. Because a lot of the times, that's where power lies. And once I understood that and I made that connection, it makes so much sense. It simplifies love. It helps you reevaluate and understand how love works. Because so many times when people have issues, they do not communicate with each other, but their actions are enough to show, you know, what they're dissatisfied with. So if it's with someone you love, and let's say their love language is quality time, they would deprive you of that quality time when they're angry with you. They would take that away. So the things you matched with, because they're giving all these things to you, right? That's their love language. So all these love that they're giving you, when it's time to like take that away, that's how they show their anger, and it hurts you even more. It's not that, yes, they know your weakness and yes, they know what provocates you, what irks you, because clearly you guys are in love and you've spent time with each other. But to explain it to you and to hurt you even further, they would take back that one thing which made you fall in love with them, or that one thing that you're used to, or that one thing that you expect them to do. If it's words of affirmation, now it's going to be arguments, debates, words of hate, and so on and so forth. And, you know, if it's acts of service, they would like, you know, let's say like they would always cook a meal for you, or they would always, you know, fold your clothes after laundry, or like pick you up after school or something like that. But they won't do that anymore. And you would have to do that for yourself. And everything is psychologically embedded like that. That is how it works. That is how even hurt and hate are interlinked into it. And that absolutely blew my mind. So let me explain it to you properly with examples that what is the opposite of the five love language. So we were talking about words of affirmation. So let's start with criticism or like negative words. They will erode your sense of love and belongingness because all these good things that they've said about you are suddenly so judgmental, things that made, you know, you feel quirky and cute, and, you know, quirks of yours that they like, it's going to turn into irritation. You know, beauty in the world that they see and that reminds them of you is going to be signs and tastes of disgust. This is also why when so many special songs are shared between two people who love each other, and once that relationship has died, those songs are ruined for you forever because they've lost that meaning And not only that, you start feeling that all of it was a lie, all of it was a facade, it never meant anything. But you need to understand that during that duration, okay, no one can fake it for so long, okay? So, and people are not that level of liars or manipulators that they could just go on and on and on. So, for so long, like after a point, the act drops. And if it's been way too long and then you've broken up, then you should understand that, hey, you know, when there were those songs and that were exchanged, there was some meaning into it. There was some love into it. So do not, you know, give up that power. Reclaim that power. If there are things that you love and things that you did that were so nice, but now you can't do it anymore because it's associated with them, you need to break that link and break that connection. Never associate anything with a particular person because then that hurts. Then you're giving up the power. You're giving up the ownership of it. So next time, you know, a very good advice that I would give is something that I do. So if I had something special with someone, like let's say a spot, okay, like a date spot, or like this is the sunset spot and this is my spot and I bring people who I really, really love here. So when a relationship goes sour, and because this place is personal to me, I am not going to forever associate this place with that person, because initially, even before they were there, this place was mine, right? It held special meaning and value to me, right? So it's mine, it's not theirs. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to override these memories with another person with whom I am going to share that space with. It's not our, okay? It's my space and my idea of love, because it's all in my head, right? Like, I don't have any ownership of that space, but I have ownership of the memory of the moment. So I am inviting you into it. So if you have created this beautiful memory in your head, you too have the power to erase it, to erode it, and to rewrite it. So I always do this, that if something was really, really special to me, like, for example, like a Taylor Swift song, that I have dedicated it to someone, like I like that song and it had meaning to me even before I dedicated it to this person. That song doesn't die with that person. Yeah, the memories will come and I'll be hurt, but it's not their song. It's still a song that's important to me. So I get to reclaim that back and rewrite the memory of that song. Yeah, you will be remembered. But I'm not going to give up things I love just one by one to people who eventually, you know, I had a falling out with. I'm not going to blame them. I'm not going to hate them. But yeah, like, it didn't work out. It didn't work out. That doesn't mean I keep seeking for, like, new things and keep, you know, giving up all these other great things that I had. But now I can't have them anymore because of so-and-so. So do not give up that kind of power, please. The next The next one is neglect or lack of effort. So it's the direct opposite of acts of service. Is, you know, instead of helping them, they're making it more difficult, or, you know, for them to do it. They are going to completely withdraw and show that, hey, you see this? You see this world that has happened? Like, when I stop helping you, like, you cannot live without me. When I stop helping you, your life becomes an inconvenience. You need me. You want me. And this could also, like, you know, turn toxic pretty quickly. It can turn toxic very quickly. So always, you know, accept acts of service. It's a very beautiful feeling. It's one of my love languages too. I find it very selfless and giving. But at the same time, understand the difference between codependency and something that someone's doing it for you. Do not get so dependent that it is very difficult for you to leave when a situation turns, you know, south pretty quickly. As you grow older, life is going to get tough, and we all seek comfort. We all want our lives to be easier. But you ignoring to do some things and going out of your way to completely relax and just have no care in the world and just live like a baby, then you are deluding yourself, okay? The soft life is a lie. You have to be smart. You can live a soft life while being aware of what's going out in the world. Ignorance is not a badge of honor. Do not give up all control. Pretend that you don't know how to do your taxes, do not know how rent works, do not know all the big problems in the world because, well, they're being taken care of. No, that's not how it works. You have to be aware. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult to leave. And I'm not saying that all of us are in a situation where we are going to leave. But you would like to be prepared for the worst, right? Do you want others to see you as a loser, as a bum who cannot do anything? No, don't be that person. Be an aware person. Okay? Be conscious of what is happening. Don't be stupid. That's it. That's it. It's not that hard. Just don't be stupid. So please just keep your eyes and ears open and do not let anyone take you for a toss like that. The opposite of receiving gifts is taking without giving. So you know how it's all sentimental things and it's all like beautiful things. You want to make their lives easier. You keep gifting them all these things. Taking without consideration or reciprocity can make the other person feel extremely undervalued and taken for granted that, I'm not going to get anything in return. And it's not like that exactly. It's more like, I am going to take as much from you as what I feel I am worth. So I'm going to rob you of it. I'm going to deprive you for it. So even this is like a very toxic power game. It could also be people who literally like destroy sentimental gifts or be like, I need my hoodie back and I need my journal back and I need my whatever locket I gave you back. Like that's just childish, okay? Please don't do that. If you're going through a breakup with an ex, you literally have no need of taking back sentimental values and gifts and letters and stuff like that. Like it's just, you know, it had a time. You gifted it to someone. I truly don't understand this culture of taking gifts back. That means they weren't a gift in the first place. Like you bought it having ulterior motive, right? So they weren't really gifts. You got it to gain something out of it. So I feel it's extremely selfish and childish to take back gifts you've given to someone unless until they've done you really, really wrong. Like, you know, if they've like cheated on you or something and it was like super expensive, like an engagement ring or something. But sentimental gifts, gifts that literally like had run their course, it's not even that big of a deal, like pictures or something. I don't think you have to like, you know, run down someone and demand them to give you back those things. Next up, quality time, like I mentioned, people whose love languages are quality time, their hate languages is ignorance. It's absence. They cannot stand being with you. They cannot talk to you. They don't want to look at you. So they are going to just not show up, you know, because they'll be sitting there and constantly feeling everything that went wrong. They just physically cannot because for them, time is precious. Time is valuable. And why should I spend time with someone who does not even like or care or bother about me? So they will literally find excuses. They will remove themselves from situations. They will not attend parties or invite you in places where there could be a chance of you both running in together. Like, nope. Nope. Out of sight, out of mind. Like, that's how, you know, the therapy part of it works. Like, they are out of there. Then you'll suddenly feel very neglected and unimportant that, so you don't have time for me and, you know, what happened to us? You don't have time to talk to me anymore. You do not have time to spend with me anymore. Like, what is all this? Like, yeah, I filled it up with more important thing and other people I love because every time, every moment I spent with you, it was just painful. It was as if the time wasn't passing, you know. When time doesn't pass, there are two cases. One, when, you know, you are so much in love, Okay, that's when time passes, like runs. It's like, where did all the time go? And time is excruciatingly painful when it doesn't pass, when you want something to end, when you're just waiting. When is this going to end? When you're bored. You know, these are the only two cases, when you're bored and when you are insufferable. You cannot stand there. You cannot stay there. You just want out. So I get these people are like super genuine and the whole time is money, time is attention, time is love. Like, I get it. I get it. And the final one is withholding affection, which is also, you know, physical touch. And physical touch has been like quite controversial out of all the love languages. But yeah, like, contrary to physical touch, withholding affection is avoiding or, you know, making a partner feel unloved and undesired and, you know, probably unwanted because they cannot feel that spark. They cannot feel that connection. Touching you disgusts them. Or you just, you know, looking at them, things that you found beautiful in their appearance, in their body, you just don't like it. You don't like their aura. Like, you are repulsed, you know, by even like a hug or a handshake even. You don't even want a fist bump. Like, their scent that would drive you absolutely mad is like literally all that spark, it dies. Like, you start seeing them as someone really, really ordinary. And that scent is now just distasteful and disgust. So, you know, physical touch can manifest into physical hate, like physical distance, physical avoidance so quickly. It could also turn into physical violence. And that's the thing, you know, like, hate after a point turns into abuse. So, you know, just like, remove yourself from any situation before it reaches that point. Like, I'm an avoidant that way, that I see something going down to shit and I will abandon ship. I'm not there to sit and witness the downfall, you know, unless it's like, you know, something really eventful, but not my own, not for my own relationship. I'm not going to wait on someone and just have them turn everything lovely into everything disgusting. Like, I'm going to dip, because the first initial signs of all of this is disrespect. And it always starts with disrespect. It always starts with crossing a boundary. And the thing with me is, when things go south or when I cause a judgment, that's it. You're done. You're cooked. I am not changing my opinion about you, because that for me immediately, that one bad behavior immediately is like, that's it. Last warning. I'm not here to give one strike, two strike, three strike. I'm going to sit here and observe your behavior, because I don't have tolerance like that. I don't have time like that. And the thing with me is, once my opinion about someone or something changes, it's very difficult for me to look back at them at the same way and think of all those same things. Like, I'm just like, I get the ick, like, bam. Okay, like, you're done. No, it's not happening, and I will dip. So yeah, like, quality time, I'm like, bye-bye, out. So now, because we've understood the five love languages, I think this is quite informative about the five hate languages, and you can, you know, figure these things out and point these things out if you ever, God forbid, are in a problematic situation or in an uncomfortable relationship. Like, you know how people work. And I want you to, you know, be protected from all sorts of manipulation, negativity, narcissist. So the more you know and the more self-aware you are about these things, about how these work, and the more you can observe it better, because now you know. I have given you this information. Now you know. So it's like a weapon. Use it smartly and start observing people's behavior. You know, after a point, you don't even have to talk to people. You will reach a point of such zen that you can read people at the first glance. It's not called being judgmental. It's called being so experienced with constantly observing people, with seeing everything around you, that you just know it clicks. It clicks. You can read people like that. You can read their auras like that. You know what's going to happen. You know how it's going to unfold. And trust me, it's going to save you so much time and attention that you're going to thank me later. So that's all for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Please give me a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcast. And hopefully, if you guys can leave a review, I would really, really love it. And that would really support my show. So thank you once again for listening. Have a nice day. Bye.